You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Marymeadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, and today we are going to be talking about dahlias. I call them dahlias. Some people call them dahlias. I say dahlias. I don't know. And I have two guests here with me, Megan and Mallory from Blooming Creek Flower Farm. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves. But we were friends in college and now we live about 90 minutes apart. And I have bought dahlias from them because their dahlias are so excellent. They are better at growing dahlias than me. I'm going to say that. That's why I wanted them on here. But yeah, go ahead and I don't know, whichever one of you wants to go first. Who's older? Who's older?
I am Mallory.
Okay. You know, yep. I don't know if I expected that. I maybe thought Megan was older. Anyway, doesn't really matter.
By a minute, but whatever. I always take credit.
Yeah. Okay. So Mallory, go ahead.
Sure. Yep. So my name is Mallory Thompson. I'm one of the twins here at Blooming Creek Flower Farm. We are in our third full year of flower farming. The farm is located at Megan's house, but I live just 4 miles to the east of her. So we do live very close in proximity as well, which is really handy. So I can just buzz over as the need arises. But I work full time as a life insurance underwriter. I have been married for about 10 years and we have 2 girls, ages 5 and 3. So when we're not busy flower farming, I do have a full time job and I keep up with my family and so forth as well.
I'm Megan Fisher. I'm the other half of Blooming Creek here. And like Mallory said, the farm is at on our property. We are located just about 8 miles or so south of DeGraff, Minnesota. I should say small town west of Wilmer. But this is where we grew up. Our parents live just about 10 miles to the north of us. And we're back to the community that we grew up in. And our kids will go to the school that we went to school at. And it just feels good to be home. My husband and I, his name is Michael, and we nickname him like the farm maintenance manager. Mm-hmm. It helps us out a lot. But we've been married, it'll be 7 years here this August, and we have 2 girls, Nora and Caroline, and a baby boy on the way. So we'll be busy with that here this fall as well. My full-time job outside of the farm, too. I work off the farm. I work for Dooley's Petroleum in Wilmer as a customer service rep and a CSR manager. So a little bit about me.
Yeah. And at the end, we'll talk about, you know, where they can find you guys, but they're Blooming Creek. They're on Instagram and Facebook, but I'll put all of that. If you are new to the podcast, every single episode, if you go to sunnymarymeadow.com/podcast, every single episode, besides the bonus Bloom and Grow episodes, but all of these cut flower farming episodes are their own written blog. And so if you want to look up, you know, any resources or go back and reference it, it's all on there. So sunnymarymeadow.com/podcast. So you'll find this episode on there. So we're going to just start at the very beginning with dahlias. And I think, you know, I think we're going to go into like planting them, fertilizing, weeding, trellising or staking, picking, mm-hmm. vase life, landscaping, or, you know, if you just use them in like landscaping or pots, like what the difference is that versus growing them as cut flowers, sure. And then dividing and storing. Anything you guys think we should add to that? And as we go, we'll just adjust it. But am I forgetting anything? Bugs. We got to put that.
Yeah. I would add bugs.
Yeah. Super fun.
Right. But it's a big part of it for sure.
Yeah. Dahlias are a tuber, which is similar to a little potato, you know, kind of. Yeah. It's a root. And so it's not a bulb. It's not a seed. You can plant them by seed, but you won't get the same variety. Like it'll be a mystery flower, essentially. So you plant these tubers and You got to make sure it has a viable eye, just like a potato when they start sprouting. So, you know, you have to make sure it has one of those. But I'll let one of you talk if you want to talk a little bit about like how they're perennials, but not really in our area and zones and stuff like that.
So, yes, tubers in Minnesota or dahlias in Minnesota are not a perennial. They need to be just planted in the dirt in the spring, sunny or pretty early, but after like the soil warms enough because they cannot tolerate any like frost. So we plant them usually mid to end of May. I think this year is about the 20th or so of May. And then finally, once they're sprouted, pinch them back, watch them grow. And then finally, the first blooms after pinching we see usually by late July. So kind of a shorter growing season, but then from up until the first blooms through their first frost, our first hard frost, they'll have many, many blooms and they get super tall as long as you keep picking and keep pinching them. And some of them can grow up to, you know, over like 5 feet. So fun to see that. But
yeah, and I think so. I usually plant them about 4 to 6 inches deep, which I think is probably deeper than most people do, but it gets so windy. Like my meadow is just wide open. So that's how deep I go, and they do fine. I don't know. Like, how deep do you guys plant them?
We plant ours about 4 inches, I'd say, as well.
Okay. And then do you guys do
less
like
than that? I feel like they start popping through the top.
Exactly.
The soil, and that's
exactly.
Not good.
And then what about like bone meal? Do you guys do that?
We did try bone meal the very first year. We grew like more than a dozen. And the dog immediately.
Yes, my dog went after him.
Dug him up.
Yep, Merle dug him up because it smells like or whatever, you know.
Yeah, we just didn't really see that it was that beneficial and was not going to deal with.
Can you guys explain what bone meal is?
So it's like it's calcium, right? Like, now you have to Google it. It's a.
Like a white looking powdery fertilizer that you put first into the hole before you even put the tuber down. So you dig the hole, put the bone meal down, and then plant the tuber with it, basically. So before they're even sprouted through the soil, they're just bone meals hanging out with the tubers. And then, like I said, it's a nuisance for animals to dig it up.
It's good fertilizer because it's
according to
animal waste.
Gardenerspath.com. Bone meal is an organic fertilizer derived from, you guessed it, bones. Meat bone waste from slaughterhouses undergoes a steaming process before being pulverized into granules of powder for use as a soil amendment. It's rich in phosphorus. So that's why our dogs go after it. I mean, I knew it was bone.
Exactly. It smells like most of them.
Yep. So anyway, that's fun. I haven't used it since. I don't know. Maybe I should. I don't know. And I feel like, but if you guys don't do it, I ain't going to do it. Like whatever you guys do with your dahlias, that's what I need to do because your dahlias are great.
No, we don't use it. Yeah.
And then usually, so I did pot some up, like the ones I bought from you guys, actually, they have a tuber sale every spring. I bought 20, 15, something like that from you guys. And then I potted them up ahead of time. So they were a good 8 inches tall when I transplanted them out just to get a bit of an early start. Yep. We'll see. I don't know. But, and some people do that. Like I know there's a flower farmer in Wisconsin, like she pots up like 200 of them, but I just can't keep up with it. If I do that, I don't remember to water them. It's just not good.
No, we've never really done the potting. Either.
I mean, it's like, you get flowers an extra week or two earlier, but
true.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to do that stuff. Like, I mean, an extra week or two earlier, and maybe you can sell more bouquets or whatever, but like take a half hour out of your day to water them all and check on them and like,
thanks.
Yeah. So planting them, and then they usually start coming up. I mean, they say, and it's true, like they can take up to like 6 weeks to come up. Some of these like stragglers, like some of them are up in 3 or 4 days, and some of them it's a month. Like I gave up on them and then I started digging them up just out of curiosity. I'm like, oh, there it is. Whoops. So
we found some of that as well.
And they catch up. Yeah. Like they feel somehow. They still all bloom at the same time. I don't know. Right. Like, I don't know. Maybe not, but or within, you know, it's not like they bloom 6 weeks apart if they, you know, so yeah, that's kind of planting. And then, so right now mine are probably, well, it depends on the variety. And we'll talk about some favorite varieties at the end, but I think some of mine are anywhere from, I'd say mine are all between, maybe there's some that are 8 inches, but most are probably around 12 to, I've got a few that are a couple feet tall already that are like budding, but that I missed, So then let's talk about pinching. So if one of you wants to talk about that.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing too for height. Like some of ours now are a little on the shorter side, maybe even just like, I mean, some that
like I said, we're kind of slow to come up, or maybe just in the 6 to 8 inch range, and others are, you know, pretty tall. But basically for pinching, you just pinch them back down to, well, depending how tall you let them get before you pinch them, just pinch them off. So the first, really the buds and the first set of leaves are gone. And that's just going to help encourage the plant to grow taller and branch out more, which is ultimately just going to lead to more flowers.
It also, you know, just kind of makes the whole thing a little sturdier. And if you don't pinch them, you get like a broomstick of a stem that's like enormous. So you have to pinch them to get smaller usable stem.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And then do you guys ever have it? Because I don't know, obviously, I'm sure you do. Like when you pinch them and it's like a huge circle and like some people will like cover that. I never ever have, and I've never had a problem. No. They say like if rainwater gets into it.
Oh.
Well, first of all, it doesn't rain here, so whatever.
Exactly. We haven't had that problem this year.
But do you guys ever do anything with that? Like there's some flower farmers that I follow and they're like, put a pin over top of, or saran wrap. I'm like, who has time for that? Like, I don't do anything ever. Like,
no, we don't either. I know exactly what you mean. Like some of them, except by the time they've grown and you pinch them, they're like as big as a round already, as like a nickel or a quarter even. Mm-hmm. But no, we never do anything with that. We just pinch it, cut it off and let it be. Mm-hmm. Never had a problem.
Yeah. And I know some people will like try to propagate from their pinchings. And I think that's like a big thing right now, but I'm just barely trying to stay ahead. I don't need to grow my supply that much. And honestly, like all my dahlias are pretty well mixed up. They were not labeled great this last year because I was moving into my house. And so I just like, we're just glad I got them out of the ground. So it's going to be a rainbow one more year. So I was like, my luck will be like the ugly ones that I had meant to throw away. And those will be the ones that I like take the time to baby, and they probably wouldn't even bloom in time. And so then I wouldn't even know what kind they were anyway. So I don't know. That's kind of my theory on that, is I'm not going to try to plant the pinchings yet, but I don't know.
No, it's a good way to grow your stock, like you said.
Yeah.
No, not the same year.
Yeah. Trellising. So I did, I think I did the same thing as you guys, T-posts with two levels of string around the edges. And so that they just kind of like, the middle ones will support each other, but then it just keeps them from flopping over the sides.
Right.
I see
we
some.
We did it that way. Yeah.
You guys do
it that way. Our first year, we just kind of corralled them that way.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, before that, we didn't have as many. So we just bamboo staked them individually.
Yep.
And that worked great. Got a few more, did the corralling method. And then last year, we looked into doing what they call like the Florida weave. And so it is just twine, again, through T-posts. But instead of just straight rows of twine, they're like X'd or crisscrossed through all the rows. And mm-hmm. so it offers more support like through the middle.
Nice. I should maybe look into it. Worked awesome. Middle support. I see quite a few growers using like netting, like the 6x6 netting. And I'm worried about that for them.
Like, I know.
Wouldn't that be so messy? And then especially, like, I don't know. I just
harvest.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be really hard to harvest. Like even right now, my snapdragons, I'm just cursing harvesting through the netting. Like I don't want to do it. I don't know.
No. Yeah. I feel too at the end of the season, like when you go to like cut them all off, mm-hmm. you'd just be cutting the stems, you know, at the bottom
mm-hmm.
or towards the ground and taking all that foliage plus mm-hmm. the netting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like a mess.
Yep. I used to, I mean, the first year that I grew them, I had like 9 or 10. I used tomato cages. It's what I had. Yep. I don't know. It worked good. And then maybe one or two, I did like bamboo stakes, which is literally like a stick in the ground that you tie it
to. Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, I used tomato cages.
They need to be supported.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. They cannot.
They need to be supported.
Yep. Yeah. Otherwise, I mean, they'll just grow along the ground and.
Yeah. Yeah. Flop over. Too much wind here for that.
So let's talk about fertilizing.
Alrighty.
Sorry, I'll let one of you talk. Yeah.
We don't offer, or we don't actually do that much fertilizing. Our soil has seemed work out really well. Mm-hmm. But the only thing we use or put down is kind of now when they're about a foot tall or so, is the Dr. Earth Bud and Bloom Booster, it's called. It's like in a pink bag. You just sprinkle it like on the soil and you kind of work it in like, with a hoe or like a garden weasel mm-hmm. to like, work it into the soil a little bit, water it, and then let it go. That's all. It's supposed to be like a just increase the amount of blooms you get per plant, I think, without being too high in nitrogen.
Nice. Yeah, I did spray some fish emulsion on them.
Okay.
Like 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago. I don't know. I don't know if it helped. I sprayed it on my ranunculus once. I don't know. Okay. Like,
I've always wanted to try it, but it's so stinky.
It's so stinky. It's
that we've never attempted.
It's, well, and it's, I don't know. I honestly don't know if I got a bad batch or like, if that's how it is, but it's like this gooey stuff and you shake it with water. I'm like, is it supposed to be solid? I don't know. Like, I thought it was a liquid, but anyway, it was just gross. It was just gross, but we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you guys don't use landscape fabric for yours, do you?
The only fabric we have out there is just between the rows. Otherwise they're planted just in dirt. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's what I do too. And honestly, like, where mine are planted, I get a lot of crabgrass coming through because it's a new location. So that sucks. But after this year, it won't be so bad. So that's been crappy. But we just take the hori-hori knife, go through it. It's been manageable. And then I do use preen, like a pre-emergent within them to try to like keep stuff from sprouting. But that doesn't stop crabgrass. So it doesn't really...
Right.
I don't know.
Anything else, though, would be helpful for.
Mm-hmm. And the plants are, I mean, they're big enough by now that it's not bad. Like, you just wait for the weeds to come through and you pick them. And
eventually, they'll grow themselves out.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break from this episode to talk about something else. We're going to talk about my course that I'm launching this fall, Peddling Perishable Products. So they are essentially, if you like the episodes where I tell you how to grow the flowers, I really think you're going to like the episodes where I tell you how to sell the flowers. Ultimately, I tried creating some podcast episodes talking about how I do things, and it just felt incomplete. And I really want to make a difference, and I want to make it easier on you, and I don't want you to find out how to do things the hard way. If you want more information on how to sell your flowers and turn it into a comprehensive business, click the link within this episode notes and sign up for a Calendly call. I promise it's not intimidating. It's 15 minutes. I'm going to tell you the stats on my sales. I'm going to give you information on the course. Ultimately, if at the end of the phone call the answer is no or not yet, I promise no hard feelings. I just really, really want to help you turn your cut flower hobby into a successful business if that's what you want to do. Again, no hard feelings. Just sign up on the Calendly link. Thanks. Talk about bugs, if you want. One of you wants to take the lead on that.
Sure. So pests, especially in Minnesota here, are the corn rootworm beetles. Love the dahlias. I'd say like mid-August, you start to really see them start eating at the buds themselves before they're even open. And if you can manage it before you have like too many plants, like we counted tonight, and there's just about 200 individual plants. It'd be way too many to bag, but you can buy the little like organza bags like from a craft store or something and put that over the bud themselves before it even opens or before the bug has a chance to get into the middle of the bloom. Because once it gets in there, it'll burrow and start
wreaking havoc.
Yeah, ruining the flower, essentially. That is one way to stop them, is to put the organza bags on each individual bloom. But like you said, when you have 200 plants, that's like a million bags. There'd be no way to keep up with it.
Yeah, and I think like some people just kind of wait it out. I don't know. Just hope for the best. I don't know.
I feel like last year they were pretty bad. So now the last 2 years we have not bagged them. We haven't even attempted because we've just had too many actual plants to do. Mm-hmm. So we actually have gone through and our dad has helped us spray them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's, I mean, and again, there'll be people that'll listen and say like, you know, whether or not they think it should be, you know, don't use chemicals or don't this or don't that, like organic, you know, and honestly, like, that's up to the individual farmer to decide that. And they are tested. There are like, you're not touching them. You're not, you know, it's like, and at the end of the day, like it's your crop, it's your product.
Right.
What else do you, I mean, people don't want holes in their flowers. I don't know.
No, so, we try to like keep as minimal, I'd say minimal chemical as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But around. When it comes to preserving the flowers and like our, I'd say our best selling flower, and you know, we're trying to make a profit on that specific, we'll say crop.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're not going to risk it and not and have the whole field be eaten by beetles and not have blooms left. So
exactly. And and they are a pest for a reason. And I don't know, I've never sprayed any of mine. I mean, I've thought about it. I just haven't had the resources, honestly, like or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to make that decision at some point. But like, at this point, like I haven't had a problem. So I don't know. I'll just keep hoping for the best. I mean, like there's some flowers that you have to throw away, but for the most part, it's been okay. So I guess the next part is the fun part, picking. Cut low. I mean, for most any flower that does branch, you know, whether it's zinnias or whatever, you cut it super low and then like trim it up to get it obviously ready in the bucket. So like for the most part in the field when we're picking, I mean, I have my, whether it's volunteers or my paid staff or me, most of the time it's me. It's not like I have a huge team, but, you know, cut it super low. Even if you like sacrifice those side branches, don't not cut it low because you're hoping to get those secondary blooms because they're not going to be as big anyway. And it's essentially pinching it again. And so it's like you keep cutting them low, and that's like my zinnias right now. I mean, it's a similar thing. You know, a couple of people that are like, well, what about all those other blooms? Like, I don't need it that short, because then we end up trimming it. You know, so then I have them take it, you know, like kind of lay them in the ground and then cut them so that they're all the same length. Like I started doing that this year just because it's like we got to save some time on making bouquets. It used to be just, you know, all these random different lengths in the bucket, and it doesn't work.
No.
And so like, yep, with dahlias, same things. You still have to cut them super low. Even if you don't need that long of a stem, you still need to cut it that low.
Exactly.
So that the plant keeps reaching up.
It's going to be more, or like you said, more encouraging or beneficial for the plant in the long run. When people come to cut them, like you said, they're kind of worried, like, oh, should I really cut it that far down? It's like, yes, you need to cut it that far down.
Yep, you need to, and you have to.
Yep.
Those are the rules.
Yeah, nice long term, what you want.
Yeah. Do you guys do any hot water or anything like that?
No, we just fill up our buckets from the hydrant and you know, away we go.
Yeah, and I...
we don't do anything special with that.
Yep, no, me neither. My basil I cut into hot water, and I feel like...
Sure.
Is it Florette maybe that says to use hot water for your dahlias? I don't know. Probably. But I think I did my first year, but I didn't notice any different.
Do okay either way.
Yeah, and I think, I think their vase life is okay. So then I think this is a good time to start talking about favorite varieties. I fell into the trap of like buying what I liked, which is why I have an entire row of 100 and some cafe au lait dahlias, which they're really pretty. They're awesome, but they don't last a long time. They only last like 4 days. Yeah. And most of my customers understand like, okay, after 4 days, just take that one out. Like, but it's really pretty. It's really pretty while it's there. But then there'll be people that'll be like, well, it only lasted. I'm like, I know. That's all they last. They're so pretty. And so, I mean, that's why I bought a bunch from you guys, was I needed more ball dahlias.
Yep. They definitely have a nice life.
Yep. And I love the, I don't know what you call them, like kind of like wispy, stringy looking dahlias. You know what I'm talking about?
Like a cactus style.
Yeah. Yep. Like, I love those, but again, like, no, not in arrangements necessarily. Right. Not in bouquets. Like, again, and I say all the time, I do a lot of bouquets, not necessarily arrangements. You know, it's focusing on the fresh flowers. But so what are your guys's, like, if you had to pick, this is a loaded question. And maybe maybe it's different questions for both of you, but like you could only grow 5 dahlias for your cut flower farm. So not based on looks, not based on how it looks in the landscaping, but like producers.
Each of us are just holistically. So I am, this is Megan here. I am actually just even more partial to like the ball types anyways. They're my favorite. So I would say if I had to pick 5, I would go with Caitlin's Joy and Joy Winnie. And they look really similar anyways. They're both pink ball types. I love also Ruby and so forth. Like thinking like productivity wise. K.A. Rosie Joe, I'd say, is in my top 3. Snowho Doris, I love. And let's round her out with Lark's Ebb.
I don't know if I know that one. So that's a yellow one?
It's more of a water lily style. Nice. Not as much of a ball, but it has a really good vase life and an amazing tuber producer.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Well, I know I bought 3 of those from you guys for sure. The Caitlin's Joy, the Joey Winnie.
Yeah.
And I think the Snowho Doris.
Yeah.
I do love Ivanetti.
Yes.
It's dark, so it's pretty, I don't know. People seem to like that one.
Great one for fall because it's like a burgundy. Yeah.
I did some Cornell Bronze. I bought new ones this year.
Those are my probably top 3, Mallory. Yep.
Yep. And then of course my cafe au lait, but again, they're great for weddings. They're great for, you know, those type of things, but
true
event work, you know, if you, but I don't really do a lot of those at this point. So I don't know.
We started off too also like it's, I would say, growing kind of what you'd like. So we did have quite a few like dinner plate styles, like the cafe au lait, but just found, that just the vase life wasn't great for making bouquets. And ultimately you want to give a good flower to the customer. So we really have transitioned a lot of them to the ball types, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Best vase life, I would say, also I agree with, like, it's like Cornell Bronze, Ivanetti, probably Daydreamer. Yeah. Any of the smaller ball ones. Mm-hmm.
And you guys don't have a walk-in cooler, do you?
Nope. No. Just stand-up cooler.
Yep. Yeah. How long do you keep them? And that's what I mean. And most people don't. Like, I just have one because I used to have, there used to be a butcher shop here.
Right.
Whatever. If you're wondering about that, if you're new to the podcast, go back and listen to one of the early episodes about my butcher shop cooler. Anyway, I mean, I would say, how long do you guys store them in the cooler then, like overnight, or do you just use them the same day, or what do you guys do?
Most often we're picking for like our bouquet subscriptions, usually just the night before, especially for dahlias. Mm-hmm. And so I would say after we are picking them, we're cutting them down to size already right away for our mason jars and putting them in the fridge basically just overnight. Mm-hmm. So we really are only storing them short term.
Mm-hmm. And I always thought, to go along with that, this is kind of moving from the conversation of dahlias, but isn't it kind of weird to you when they always say like, let them rest? I'm like, well, can't I let them rest in the vase?
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah,
that's what I don't really get. They're like, before you arrange them, I'm like, well, if I cut it and I put it directly in the vase, isn't it soaking up water? I don't know. Do you guys know what I'm saying? Like, although I have found like my celosia, like don't touch it for a little while. Like, give it a good 3 or 4 hours before you start working with it.
Even basil, is like that too. Mm-hmm. One time a day you pick it and so forth.
Yeah, but I don't know, the dahlias, I feel like, like you said, you cut it down to size right away, and then
we haven't noticed anything. Like you said, if rest time, or if you just leave it in a bucket, like in the garage or in the shed or whatever, doesn't really seem to deter the quality of the flower.
I don't know. There's a lot of, flower farmers that you follow for like hacks and whatever. And like, I have a really nice shade tree down by my flowers. And I've thought about like, hey, let's just bring 50, but I have a space for making bouquets. So it's perfect. Like, so I don't need that. But I've thought about before I did that, I'm like, well, what if I just brought all the jars down there and make them down in the field as I'm picking them? But then I don't know, I feel like if you get pulled away because of a kid or something, now all of a sudden your flowers have been sitting outside for two hours and even longer. Like, it just isn't, it's not a one size fits all to me. So you guys pick them, bring them inside right away, make the arrangements, and then put them in the cooler. Okay, so then the next thing I want to talk about, let's talk about growing dahlias as a hobby grower, not as a cut flower farmer, because you're not going off of productivity. The ones that you see at most greenhouses are going to be a stunted variety.
Definitely. So blooming in April.
Yep, exactly. Yep. And they're blooming super early, and they're in pots, and most people leave them in pots. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's like, you can't really use those for cut flowers. They're not going to get tall. They're genetically modified to be short. Yep.
Yeah. Stems are so thin, and flowers, I feel like, are so frail. It's not a cut flower
type. Yeah, it's a dahlia, but not really. Not as we're not as we're thinking. But, some people are intimidated by them. And I definitely, you guys have an awesome tuber sale. I mean, I definitely probably want to add a tuber sale of my own in the future just because it's very profitable. I would love to offer it to my customers, local ones. Like, you guys do shipping, that makes me so nervous, but it works. And the ones you guys sent me, they were here the next day, which was so cool.
That was really fast.
But like, people are like, well, I'm so nervous about dividing them, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but honestly, but what's the worst that could happen? Just treat it as an annual. Like, you spend 10 bucks on a tuber, just like you would on a potted plant somewhere else. Like, the worst that can happen, if you want to buy a cafe au lait dahlia from me, I'll teach you how to do it. Stick it in the ground. And then in the fall, if you don't want to divide it up, or you're nervous about storing it or whatever, just let it die. Buy a new one. I don't know. It's $10. Yeah.
You can't even buy customers.
You literally
buy tubers.
Yeah.
Last year. And then they admitted, they didn't dig them up. They just let them freeze in the ground, and They bought more this year.
Yep, just for exactly. Yeah, and that's where it's like treated as an annual. You can totally do that. I mean, I spent $9 on a sandwich at Erber's and Gerber's today because like, yes. I was in a hurry and I was like, whatever. And then, you know, it's like you get a meal at Jimmy John's and it's $19 and it's like, mm-hmm. But then people complain that my bouquets are too expensive. I'm like, I'm sorry, but life is expensive.
It is.
Let's talk about what you guys do in the fall before last frost. Try to label them.
Yes. Yeah. And we said last year that we're going to try to label them earlier this year because mm-hmm. last year, you know, we're on our hands and knees when the plants are 4 feet tall or whatever. And it's like sorting through a jungle, trying to wrap the mm-hmm. tape around the bottom. So this year we're going to try to get them labeled a little earlier.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Yeah. But. I definitely need to do that. Like that's an August project for sure. Mid-August.
As soon as we have first flowers in the plants, they're getting a label.
Yep. And then, yeah, because it's exciting and like, cut them and put a label on it. Yep. And I will probably be texting you guys pictures of them because guess who didn't label anything? Anyone know what this is? So we have a group text. It's called Flower Farmer Friends. And there's a bunch of us in it. And yeah, that's going to be what that is. This is now a Dahlia labeling group. Sorry about your notifications. So yeah, label them. What do you guys use? I'm assuming like a little plastic, like,
We've used like the plastic little tags like off Amazon before, but we find that they break, mm-hmm. especially as
they break so easy. Yeah.
Yeah. If the weather gets cold or something, they like snap. So then you're kind of lost, you know, with that variety after they're done flowering, you can't tell which one is which. So then now last year we used like tape, colored ribbon tape. I can't think of that term, but you can write on it with Sharpie or like a garden marker and it sticks just fine. But that's easier just to tie around than the big stem on the bottom. And
how many varieties do you think you have?
We have 57.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I've probably got like 20 varieties, but I have 490 plants. No, 410 plants.
Okay.
But again, a lot of Cafe Olays, like probably almost 200 Cafe Olays because of my own wedding this year. Like I divided them a ton because I want them. Now watch, we get a September 15th freeze and I won't have them anyway, but whatever.
Don't say that. Last year we did have those like September 20th.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. But
it's called flagging tape.
Yeah. Flagging tape.
Like, yep. Like bright fluorescent pink flagging tape. So it's easy to spot and nice. Easy to put on plants.
I'll have to try that.
Hey, producer Abby cutting in here. We were having way too much fun and there was way too much good information being shared with Mallory and Megan. So what we're going to do is divide this episode into half. So next week you will get part two of our time with Mallory and Megan from Blooming Creek. So stay tuned for that and make sure you're subscribed so you get the notification when the next episode drops.
Thanks for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe and rate us. You can find us on Instagram, Pinterest, and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow. Subscribe to our email newsletter at sunnymarymeadow.com. And if you have questions or comments or anything to say, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@sunnymarymeadow.com.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. sunnymarymeadow.com.